This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Over the years, Christian prognosticators have come and gone, all claiming they knew the time of Christ's return. Yes, they actually attempted to predict specific dates. This is nothing new. It's been going on since the inception of the early New Testament church. But every one of them has been wrong every time. That's right, not one has ever been able to accurately pinpoint his return. But regardless, this hasn't stopped the formulas, graphs, and world conditions like pestilence, famine, earthquakes, and wars from being advanced by these self-proclaimed prophets as proof. Yet, all of them continue to fail miserably. And sadly, this has contributed over the centuries to believe this prophetic prediction of Christ's return to be nothing more than a myth. So, is prophecy understandable without making mistakes like this? That's the question. Well, stay with us as we explore this subject on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, at the outset of the program, we took the liberty to try and remind all of us that we're living in a pretty dangerous world. As a matter of fact, it seems as though there's pretty frightening things going on that's causing people to really take note and begin to generate some interest in a very important topic, quite frankly, that's located in your Bible. That topic being prophecy. Oh yes, my friends, prophecy. A lot of people are being drawn into this interest, and their level of attention toward it is growing, it seems, more and more. You can search the internet all over the place and find all kinds of people listed there with opinions and points of view and items that they think that they understand with regards to the future. As a matter of fact, quite frankly, that's why a lot of people take the time to investigate astrology. Oh, yes, they read their horoscopes. As a matter of fact, people, there are people that won't even leave their homes without first reading their horoscope and what the day has planned for them. Others, they visit palm readers, and even some will visit tarot card readers and or even assign or arrange for a meeting at a seance meeting at some place, some home or store where they can either talk to the dead or have their future read. Even some people now are beginning to show interest in magic, whether it's black magic or white magic, even New Age information people are investigating for the purpose of attempting to try to develop some kind of or come to understand some kind of insight for the future. Even demonism is on the rise. Satanism is on the rise. All in an effort, oh yes, my friends, all in an effort to just understand the future. And yes, it's interesting. It's history in advance. I mean, that's what prophecy is, to know the future. And people want to know what's going to happen before it happens, if they could, so that they could plan and arrange and prepare themselves emotionally, mentally, spiritually, if need be, for the things that they understand are indeed, or at least they think are indeed, going to come down on them. Now, don't get me wrong. Prophecy is certainly important, and I get that. I understand that prophecy is important. As a matter of fact, it is a credible source by which you can use to prove the Bible. That's right, my friends. Fulfilled prophecy is a proof of the Bible. Without a doubt, it is a proof of the Bible. I mean, you can go ahead and read so many stories in the Bible and see literally events, people's names, conditions, symbols that are actually connected with one another that, if you allow the Bible to interpret itself, will indeed interpret itself. But granted, some people do make mistakes. And so that's what brings me to my topic today. I would like to ask this question. Can we understand prophecy? But before I address that in more detail, let me break away, as our tradition is, to present to you our offers on today's program. And let me remind you, they're both free. All of our offers are free on the Armor of God. So you can just dial that number at 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for both of these items, which we will send out to you probably in about 4 or 5 weeks or so. Give us a little bit of time. One is titled, and it's a piece of literature you can easily read in one sitting, called Can You Understand Prophecy? And then there's a 2-CD set that we have to offer to you that's titled The Eschatological Perspective. That's just a big word for the study of future events, the study of the return of Jesus Christ and the end times. That's basically what it means. 2 hours of this, that both of these discs and presentations along with the piece of literature will help you to better understand a far more comprehensive view of the topic that I'm just going to be barely able to scratch the surface on here today. So one more time, go ahead there and dial that number, 888-578-8791, and get these two free offers. And let me interrupt one more time, too, about that website at www.cgi.org. And don't forget to hit us over there on that website. You're going to find a whole plethora of all different types of information there that should be enhancing as well to your development and ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me remind also you of one more thing about our feature there on the website, of our webcasting feature. Every Saturday at a time posted at our homepage, you can hit the link there and find out what time we're going to be going ahead and conducting this live, real-time presentation from a minister of the Church of God International, or perhaps maybe a special speaker from outside of our home base there in Tyler, Texas, bringing to you a topic that is relative to the contemporary issues that we are surrounded by in our today's world, or right out of the Bible. So one more time, 888-578-8791 for the free offers, as well as that website for much more information available there for your perusal, as well as for your digestion and edification at www.cgi.org. Now, back to the program here about prophecy. For those of you who are just kind of coming in on the discussion, we're talking about the importance of prophecy, and more specifically, can we really understand prophecy in a balanced and correct and most importantly, a right way? So many people, I mean, admittedly, you have to understand, and I'm sure I wouldn't get much argument out of many of you, that people abuse this subject. They misuse it. They misappropriate ideas and concepts and symbols and mislabel, misassign, all different types of things, frankly, to suit their own theology in many cases. For why? For what reason? For lining oftentimes their own pockets with money. Sell books, make movies, you know, generate and exploit this interest level that so many people have in this topic because of the conditions that are seemingly emerging onto the geopolitical landscape that all of us find ourselves contending with. Oh yes, my friends, there are people who claim they talk to God. There are people who claim that they actually have been visited. There's a guy named Terry Bennett who claims he was visited by Gabriel the angel. That's right, Terry Bennett claims that he was given a vision of a 21-year span of time, broken up into three sections of 7 years each, that he claims were actually personally delivered to him by the angel Gabriel. A Dr. Patricia Green, she claims that she sees dreams and visions. And another gentleman named Stan Johnson, who also claims that he has dreams of prophetic value, of prophetic events, of prophetic things that are going to occur. And the trouble with all of this, I mean, the trouble with all this, you can't validate it. You can't even deny the fact that they didn't have the dreams. I mean, who's to say they didn't have the dreams? Maybe they did have the dreams, and maybe that's what lends them so easily to be able to describe the dreams in the detail that they choose to describe, because the dreams actually did, in fact, happen. But then who's to say those dreams or visions came from God? Who's to validate that? How do they even know it came from God? How does even Mr. Bennett, in all due respect, Mr. Bennett, know that that was Gabriel? I mean, there are lying spirits in your Bible that the Bible talks about that we have to be very, very careful about. This is dangerous stuff, my friends, to give your mind over to an organization or to a man or a woman and to concede to thinking and believing that what they're telling you is true, and then you begin to model your life according to their guidance. I mean, we've all heard about Charles Manson, haven't we, and the family. Certainly we have very good memory about Jim Jones and the People's Temple there, where over 900 people drank the Kool-Aid. As a matter of fact, we have a common now statement from time to time that people say that when people are actually following the herd, as some would describe it, they're drinking the Kool-Aid is the common commentary that is mentioned or labeling those kinds of people. We remember David Koresh just, what, some 15, 20 years ago there in Waco, Texas, when the ATF and the FBI charged that building under the direction of Janet Reno and essentially burned down the building with, what, over 80-some people who lost their lives, including women and children. You can make the case about the Moonies, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Look at Scientology and the secrecy surrounding that particular church culture. I mean, these oftentimes, when you see secrecy, my friends, in all due respect, you can pretty much assume or at least justifiably be cautious enough to recognize and realize the fact that there might be something suspicious about this particular organization or individual. And I'm sure we all remember that Heaven's Gate group. There's another 30-some people who, as they say, drank the Kool-Aid, died, thinking that they were actually going to mount some kind of a spaceship that was allegedly hidden behind a comet that was coming close to planet Earth. So they all killed themselves, some 30 people, if I remember correctly, and they all died thinking that in some way they were going to come alive on a spaceship and be there mounted and actually enjoying eternal life. My friends, this is dangerous stuff. And frankly, all of us, myself included, are vulnerable to some of these dreamers and schemers, charlatans, people that are exploiting the topic of prophecy to get personal advantage over you, whether it's your money, whether it's just appeasing their own ego because they can control your mind and your family and guide you into what they believe to be right, or like in Jim Jones's case, just take your family down there and end up you following his instructions to drink the Kool-Aid and your whole family dies. I mean, this is atrocious. It is horrific in so many ways. And we've got to be, I mean, you have to admit, we've got to be careful not to allow ourselves to be dissuaded or persuaded into becoming part and parcel to mind-controlling cults or men and women with overblown egos. Because in the day and age that we're living in, with Russia emerging on the world scene and China with its rhetoric regarding the electromagnetic pulse bomb and rhetoric and stories and information that we've received here recently about the possibility of them hacking our computers for the purpose of trying to determine where the best place to ignite this particular EMP, or the ongoing rhetoric coming out of North Korea and threatening the United States that it's going to nuke the United States on and off. They're always saying in one way, shape, or form, to one degree or another, they're going to drop an atom bomb or a hydrogen bomb on the United States and target certain cities, along with the nuclear proliferation program of Iran. That, too, surrounds us. And these are things that build anxiety in the hearts and minds of people, especially when you combine that with the constant risk and threats of terrorism, all what seems to be purposed for the reason of developing a caliphate around the world in combination with ISIL and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and all of these forces proceeding to put their forces together to develop this type of caliphate that so many of them are indeed attempting to develop and add the IMF in there too, especially for those of us here in the United States when we hear the stories about how they want to knock the U.S. dollar off the saddle, off the top of the mountain from being the world's standard reserve currency. The question begs an answer. Can we understand prophecy? And here's the key, correctly. Are there any principles that we can use to assure us of a proper perspective in this category of biblical writ? Well, my friends, I can assure you there is. But you have to realize something about prophecy. Prophecy, my friends, is a very interesting subject and written in many ways, shapes, and forms. It's written poetically. Oh, it's written symbolically. There are time sequences to events that are listed in the book regarding end times that are going to play out in a certain form and fashion. You have to keep that in mind as well. Also, we have to keep in mind that it is a broad overview, a spectrum of events, current conditions that will build and gain momentum over time in a broad overview. There's not so much detail. Major items that are in your Bible are for the purpose of helping us to understand how God is steering these end time scenarios that ultimately will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. But there is one other principle that is very important that it would do us all good to keep in mind and consider when looking at and considering prophecy. Do you know what that principle is? It's called the apodalismatic principle. That's right, the apodalismatic principle. What is that? This is the principle that affirms a prophecy fulfilled or fulfilled in part or unfulfilled at the appointed time. It may have a latter fulfillment or a recurring fulfillment, or it may even have a consummated fulfillment. But it is a word that is essentially describing duality on steroids. That's right. It's a word that oftentimes is illustrative of an event that does indeed happen and has some historical value. That's right. It does have some historical value. But that's not to say that that is the ultimate fulfillment of that particular event. No, no, my friends. And a lot of people, that's where they make the mistake. There's a group called preterists who believe in the historical value of certain prophetic areas of the Bible. And they're right in recognizing that historical value. But they're wrong in affirming the denial of it going on beyond what it is describing at the time it's happening. Let me illustrate something for you over here in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Or you know what? Better yet, let me take you instead over here to Luke chapter 21. To Luke chapter 21, and we'll pick it up over here in this particular area that's describing certain end time scenarios that Jesus Christ is mentioning to his disciples as a result of a question that they had given him to answer with regard to the end times. And he says here in this particular case, he says, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." And then he proceeds into verse 9 here and says, "But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, don't be terrified, for these things must come to pass. But the end, it's not yet immediately," is what that "by and by" means. He goes on, he talks about nations rising against nations, Luke 21, verse 10. And then he proceeds to state that there's going to be great earthquakes in different places, famines in and pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs there shall be from heaven. But he says, before all these things, this is what's going to happen. And then he describes an event of horrific conditions for those who are following him, that is Jesus, and how they're going to see armies surrounding Jerusalem, and how if you're in that area that you should flee to the mountains, get out of Jerusalem, don't stay there because your lives are going to be in danger. And then the Gentiles are going to move in. Notice this over here in Luke 21. We're still there in this chapter. And notice this in verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword. That is, all those people in that area, they're going to fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captives into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles. Oh, yeah. Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then there shall be signs in the sun. However, my point here is with this verse 24, you have a scenario of what could be considered a short-term fulfillment. Because the reality of it was, in 70 AD, Titus, a Roman general, rolled into Jerusalem. Many of you are aware of this in your history of Israel and so on, and how he basically razed the temple. That was the destruction of the temple, never to be rebuilt even to our day now. And the Jews were ultimately exiled and trampled, and essentially that invasion, I think, culminated, it's fair to say, in the Battle of Masada, and 2 years later, about 72, where the Jews had their last stand. But the point being that in the short term, you can make the case, and I agree, there's no argument from me on this, that there is a logical connection to that historical event. And I would have to give you that because it's certainly apropos in that the words of Jesus warning them on this day, about 30 or so years before that event happened when Titus rolled in, was indeed going to happen. And actually, those that were still alive at that time, who were alive at the time when Jesus said that, could easily have understood that to be a fulfillment of prophecy. But where the preterist makes his mistake is right here at verse 24. Because by accepting that, which is correct, he's right, but in then denying what we read going forward is where it goes wrong. Notice here in verse, as I started to read, but I'll go back now, to verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of all nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And with these things begin to come to pass, that is, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. My friends, I submit to you, yes, I submit to all of us today, that this particular situation of what I just read has not happened. It has not happened yet. And therein lies where some of these who are of the different fields of prophetic understanding, whether they be preterists, whether they be futurists, whether they be idealists, or whether they be historicists, where they go wrong. They're right in accepting what they accept to be true, but they're wrong in denying what the Scriptures actually continue to say and are connected to. I could take you over to Daniel 7. Daniel 7 talks about four kingdoms. We are brought to understand that those kingdoms are identified as Babylon, Persia, the Greco-Macedonian kingdom, and Rome. But the fourth kingdom in the latter part of chapter 7 in the book of Daniel, I'm not going to turn there, but certainly you can read it at your own leisure and at your convenience, you will see actually exists at the latter day. That kingdom, which is made up of 10 kings and a tyrant that's ruling it, is claimed to be a world-ruling government at that time. So in essence, what we're saying is, though you can prove historically that Daniel 7 prophetically has some fulfillment associated with it, the fact remains is that there are still some unfulfilled prophecies still remaining and associated with it outside of the writing. In other words, it's still portraying, and it's fair to say portending, that there is an event and a kingdom to rise yet in the latter day, of which is also described as the one that's going to fight Jesus Christ upon his return. And that kingdom is going to be the one in the latter days. So here you have a prophecy that is partially fulfilled, but not completely fulfilled, and playing the part of the word that I mentioned to you before with regards to this duality understanding and concept. Because certainly you can make the case that the fourth kingdom also, in the short term and in the fulfilled role, was indeed the Roman Empire. You can go back to Revelation 13, connect that back up with Daniel 7, and you can understand that the four beasts that are described there in Revelation 13 are nothing more than symbols to give you the picture of the makeup, of the culture, of the persona of the empire in the latter day, of which we come to understand in Revelation 17, that it, the ten-kinged nation, ruled by a tyrant, is going to be the one that fights Jesus Christ. And obviously, when you understand those four beasts are who they are as described and identified in Daniel, we know then that that latter beast is going to be a Babylonish, Greco-Romanish culture that is going to rise up in the latter day. Prophecy. Can you understand it? Absolutely, but you have to understand. You have to understand the principles that are associated with prophecy. Yes, you can understand prophecy. Time's run out on me. That's why you've got to get the offers that we're presenting to you on today's program. A literature, a piece that is actually titled, what we've been talking about very clearly, is titled, Can You Understand Prophecy? Dial that number at 888-578-8791. And don't forget the two-hour presentation on the eschatological perspective. Oh, my friends, that is something that you really do need to get to enhance your understanding of what we've been trying to just scratch the surface on here in this particular program. So one more time, dial that number at 888-578-8791 and that website at www.cgi.org. Yes, my friends, these are frightening times, and they are times that many of us are growing more anxious in. Stock markets going up and going down, rhetoric coming from all kinds of foreign countries with outrageous threats to destroy yours and my lifestyle. It is a frightening time that we're all living in. But let me suggest, be careful about who and what you believe with regard to prophecy. Be sure they're connected and underscored to the underpinnings of the biblical scriptures of your Old and New Testament. This is Bill Watson reminding you always, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.